Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Chapter 11 in the book of Acts. This is speaking about the kind of members that the church is in dire need of, and that is so prevalent today that the church needs some individuals that will come into the church, will come in and to worship the living God that we serve. And not only that, that they will come in and get excited in what we are trying to do here at the church. What we're trying to do is build a church up. And the only way you can build a church up is through prayer. And we can see this right here, the promise of a Christian workers. And not only that that's in the church, but the kind of members the church needs. Kind of members the church is in dire need of. And they are few and far between today, but I believe that if we would just sit back and allow the Holy Spirit to do the speaking, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the conviction, the only thing that we can do is give out God's word, and that's what we're commanded to do. We're not commanded to go out and to witness to people and then turn around and try our very best to win them to the Lord. The only thing we're supposed to do is give out the word of God. And then as we give out the word of God, then it's up to the Trinity. It's up to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost to do the rest. And if they're not in it, it's not going to get done. They're not going to get saved. But we know that what the Bible says and what Paul says too, that we must remember one thing and one thing only, that it's the reason anybody gets saved today or yesterday or yesteryears ago is because of the creation of God. You know, God's always been there. God's always been around. But he hasn't always been with us. In speaking of that, yes, he wanted to have fellowship with us. But we didn't want to have fellowship with him at that time. There was 30 years in my life that I can remember of that I did not want anything to do at all with God. I didn't want anything to do with the church, the preacher, Sunday school teachers, deacons, even Christians coming to my home. I didn't ask them to leave. I want that arrogant or nothing like that. I just let them go on and say what they had to say, and then I said, I'll try to come to church. If they don't get it done, it's not no why trying. We must leave that up to God. We must leave that up to the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that draws all sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that comes in and tells that lost, hell-bound sinner, I love you. I died. I was hung on the cross for you, and I died, and I conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. You don't have to go in. You don't have to do it. And you sure don't have to end up going to hell, because I have already done all of that for you. All you have to do is just believe. Believe in me. And believe in what the Word of God says. Just day and time, a whole lot of people, I hate to really say this, they say that they love God, but I just wonder, do they really love God? Because one thing about it, when I fell in love with my wife, and when I told her I loved her, I didn't wait and go back a week or two and to call her or see her. I called her probably two or three times a day. And I went by and seen her. And I could not wait until I got there. And that's the way we should be. When we fall in love with Jesus, and you can definitely fall in love with Jesus, and when you fall in love with Jesus, then, and only then, you're going to be by His side each and every day. And you're going to want to be around people that talks about Him, speaks about Him, witnesses for Him. We must do it God's way. And I sure am thankful that God did not just save me, but He gave me His Word that I could take and I could read it and I could study it and I could meditate on it, that would help me go day by day. Because if I didn't have a word, I wouldn't have a prayer life. If I didn't have a word, I would not have a dedicated life. If I didn't have a word, I wouldn't obey nobody. What do you mean, nobody? I'm talking by nobody. I wouldn't obey God. I would not obey the Lord Jesus. Would not obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches me and guides me. It's pastors. Now, I'm gonna say it like it is, because I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I belong to a Baptist church. That is my choice, because the Baptists come closer to the Word of God than any other book that there is. So I know this right here stands for the time, and it stands the test for me and you. But yet, we are not just saved. We are not just Christians, but we are God's people by choice. my choice. He chose me. He chose you. But you don't tell you what, when he chose me and when he started working on me, when the Holy Spirit started working on me and people started witnessing to me and telling me about the love of God, then I was not nothing but a Gentile, just like Paul. I was a sinner on the way to devil's hell. But I thank the living God that I serve today that he did not hold that against me. He did not hold that against me. That he just came and done what he said he would do. It says right here in verse chapter 10 and verse 48. Well, now verse 47 says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayer. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The book of Acts is basically, I look at it as a history book. A history book of the Word of God. It's a history book of the Old Testament. It's a history book of the New Testament. And it's a history book that we need to go by. It's a history book that needs to be spoken about. It's a history book that needs to be told over and over and over again. Well, see where the government, you see where the government comes in and they stick their nose in the business of the people, which that's not their job to do, because they are not, we just didn't, they just didn't get up there and say, well, I'm going to be the senator, or I'm going to be the House or representative or something like that. No. They went there. Why? Because we have put them there. We put them there by our vote. So in that alone tells me one thing. And that is nothing else but they are not to be there to serve one another in the House representative or Congress or anything. They are there to represent us. And when they make their laws, it should be up to us if the laws get passed or not. You know, in the past, laws had been voted on and they've been passed. But it was passed underhanded. Because the public did not know anything about it. I don't even remember the day that they even brought up the prayer and taking prayer at the public schools. And the reading of God's word. Now, some preachers, they get, now some preachers at fault on this, I think. I'm not. But you, which I know what the Word of God says, and I know that if you lost and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot teach this book. You cannot expound upon it Because the ones that's reading it, they don't know anything about it. They don't know who the author is. They do not know who the teacher is. They do not know the one that guides and directs their path. Why? Because they lost. But still, it did not give the right to the Senate and the Congress to pass a law where they could take prayer out of school. You know how many individuals voted on that? You know how many individuals took that to Congress and took it to the Senate? One individual. And they said one is not enough. One's not enough. We can't carry anything out without the Lord being with us. I don't think God approves of that, but God didn't let it happen. Because it ain't no telling how long the devil has been on the individuals there in Congress and the Senate about taking prayer out of school. The atheists, they want to take prayer out of school because they say there is no God. We know that's not true, because I can look around and I can see God within you, within the people. And if an atheist comes up and speaks to me and everything, I can look at him and I can say, I see God in your life. He said, no, you can't either, because there is no God. I said, oh, yes, it is too, sir. I said, how was you born? Was you born of an ape? Were you born of a monkey? That's what you say. I said, but I want to ask you a question now. You say that you are born from a monkey or some type of animal or something like that. I want to ask you a question. And if you could give me the answer to it, the answer that you want to give me to where it will justify your meaning, where did the ape come from? Where did he come from? You say, well, that's where I come from. I come from him. I said, but where did he come from? Now answer it for me. He said, I have no idea. I said, the reason you don't have no idea, because you ain't saved. I said, where he come from? He come from the hand of God. When right there, when Noah was on the boat, he took them in, two by two. Two by two. He didn't take in two males of the same type. He took one male and one female. Just like God. God chose Adam. God spoken to Adam. And not only did he speak to Adam, but he also knew that Adam himself was getting a little lonely. We know the reason why God created Adam, why he created man in half, because God the Father He was getting a little lonely. He was getting to the point that where he needed more people to where he could listen to. That's what God's all about, was listening. Listening to the people. If God the Father, if he didn't have no interest in saving our soul, then I don't think that God the Father would end up creating no one. But he did. He created me. And if you ever notice me when I'm out, or if you ever been with me and I'm out and I see somebody and or somebody that I know, or and it's been a long time since I've seen them, they'll come up and say, and they'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." I said, "How you doing?" I said, "Man, you sure don't look good. Man, everything must be going your way." I've never in my born days, since the day that I got saved, I've never seen a Christian that is sold out to God that's ugly. That's ugly. Have you? I haven't. You know why? Because I see God in them. I see the Holy Spirit of God teaching them what they need to do. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 11, we'll see where the church at Antioch was named. And we'll see that where Barnabas, he was also given the word. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, I mean chapter 11 and verse 19, excuse me. 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen travail as far as Phoenicia, and Cyrus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Right here, they didn't preach to the Gentiles. They was preaching to the Jewish people. Why? Because see, the Jewish people had left God hanging. The Jewish people had forgot about God, forgot about all of God's promises and all of what God has done for them. That's the reason it was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because it was God. Because they believed in something at one time. But then they got away from God. They quit listening to him. They quit listening to him when he said, "Then now you'll have the pillar of cloud following you overhead, directing your path. Now you'll have the pillar of fire at night that will give you comfort and keep you out of harm's way that night." Well, they forgot all about that. They forgot about God. They forgot about everything else. But in those days, and in these days came the prophet from Jerusalem unto Antioch, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which is Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exalted them all, that with the purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the church, added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Right here we see where, speaking of Barnabas, where he departed to Tarsus. Why did he go to Tarsus? Because he heard about a man that was persecuting the church, persecuting all the Christians. He was persecuting the Jews. But yet, he came to Tarsus. He wanted to see the man that had done all these things and still being blessed with what he had. And these days came a prophet from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We know that Barnabas was a good man. And he wasn't just a good man, but he was a good man because of who he saw. Who he saw and what he did see. Let's notice what Barnabas saw when he saw the evidence of the grace of God. But now can we see the grace of God? It means that Barnabas saw souls who had been saved, lives that had been transformed in Christians who were rejoicing in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do here. That's the reason we're supposed to come to church, is to rejoice. Rejoice in what? Rejoice because God has given us 6 more days to bring out this day. And we need to start rejoicing every day because God gives us another day to serve Him and to please Him. I don't serve God just because I'm saved. I don't serve God just because He's God. I serve God because I fell in love with God. That's the reason I serve. That's the reason I want to see sinners get saved. That's the reason I want that a lost soul come to know Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about me anymore. There was at one time when people was praying for me, it was about me, what they was praying for. But see, it's not about me anymore. It's about that lost soul. It's about that Christian that has backslided on God. It's the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs our path. God gives us so many things that we need to go to. Before we even go and speak to someone about church or anything, we need to pray before we leave home or before we leave the church and go somewhere. We need to pray that the leadership of God will be with us. And the mouthpiece, which is nothing, none other than the Holy Ghost, will give us the very words to say to the individual. And we must not even pray one of these lullaby prayers. Because when we do that, we're just saying, God, speak to the heart. Speak to the heart. Save me before it's everlasting too late. How many times has God said that to them? You know what I think we need to be praying for today? This is me. I think what we need to be praying for and the way we need to be praying. We need to pray. Don't say God. Say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you go with me? And as I speak to the individual, you put the words there that will come forth. And as they hear the words, and as we end up leaving the home to go somewhere else and visit, we're not supposed to worry about them any longer. We need to leave that up to you, God, and up to the Savior, and up to the Holy Spirit. But yet, sometimes we will just forget about what we just prayed for. because we'll leave you home and we'll get home after that evening, and after we go visit somebody, we'll get home. And after we get home, then we'll pray and we'll read the Bible and have a little fellowship with God. Then we'll turn right back to God. Say, God, would you please save them? It ain't no pleasing about it. That's what God says in his book. The God that he serves and the God that I serve is the same God that wants other individuals to serve him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you don't tell the truth, you don't have a spirit with you. If you don't have a spirit with you, you are not going to tell the truth. You're going to bypass it. But we as individuals today, we don't have the purpose any longer that's in our heart. The way at one time all we thought about. All we thought about is coming to the house of God. I can't wait until we get to the house of God. Because if when I get to the house of God, then I can worship him. I can have fellowship with him. Nowhere I have found in his word, he's asked me to come in here and to serve him. When I leave here, once I open that door and go through them doors right there, then and then only is when I'm supposed to serve him. What's the difference between serving him and the blessings of God? It's a whole lot of difference. Because we have Monday through Saturday. We have to listen to the world, because if you go anywhere today, it don't make no difference if you're a Christian, if you're a preacher, or what, it don't make no difference anymore. You can hear all kinds of vulgar words. People don't care anymore. They don't have no respect for themselves. And if they don't have no respect for their own selves, how can they have respect for you and me? And they don't even have respect of God's house. This sanctuary right here, nobody's supposed to come in here and bring a drink or bring anything in here to eat. The only reason I have this cup of water right here is because when I start talking, my mouth gets dry. And when my mouth, when it gets dry, then my tongue will stick to the roof of my mouth. I don't have no moisture there. I don't have nothing there that will keep it moist. That's the reason I have to drink the water. And speaking of that, what's the water represent? What does it represent? It don't represent salvation. It represents the Holy Spirit. I can look around and see you, and I can tell that you have had and you still have a relationship with God the Father. You know the reason I know that? It's because you heal. These individuals that comes in, and they come in by fly by night, and everything, they just come in and go say, "Well, God, now I done what you asked me to do this week. I done come to church one time. Now, God, now I want you to bless me this week. You know that I need a new hot water heater. You know I need some new tires on my vehicle, and I just don't have the money to buy." Oh, now they want God's blessing. And they really ain't blessed God at all. Because they did not even bless God for even showing up that one service. And the way we bless God is showing up at all the services and praying and reading God's word. That's the only way God will ever bless us, is we have to give out an offering. Not tithe. Tithe is His. He says so in the book. Tithe is mine, saith the Lord. 10% of what we earn and what we end up calculating at the end of the month or end of the week or whatever, we get paid for anything, supposed to go to God. See, God's not a God of jealousy. God's not a God of means. He is a God of purpose. What's that purpose? In tithing, I see God of purpose there. Because God's telling me and you with a purpose. God is saying to me and to you, I can do more with 10% than I can 90%. But I'm going to leave you with 90% and I'm going to see what you do with it. And then God will say, "Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's where we receive the blessings of God. It's not in here. It's out there. Because we're doing something He's asked us to do. We come to church, why? After we're saved. We come to church, why? Because we're commanded in God's word to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We must gather together to worship Him. Like I said earlier, we go out here and we hear everything in the world and under the world about this and that, what's going on. We hear about murder. We hear about where women have been raped and where children have been abused and all of these things. But yet, you don't hear nothing about Jesus. You don't hear nothing about what Jesus has done that week. We don't hear anything about that. Why? Because that's good news. That's good news. The only thing we hear is bad news. I had a preacher tell me one time, said, "You know, after I got saved, I come to find out something. That the TV that I was watching will keep you closer to the devil than it will God." So he started turning the TV off. He turned the TV off. And if he ever turned it back on to see anything, he went to the Discovery Channel, somewhere. He went to a channel where, you know, they had some good programs on it, won't no cursing in it, won't no sleeping together and all of that in it and everything. But he said, you know, God's good. God's great. And look at all the blessings that God has to give out. Well, yeah, we don't want the blessings. Oh, we don't. If we really come right down to it and think about it, we really don't want God's blessings on our life. Why? Well, the Bible teaches me, and it tells me, and the Holy Spirit tells me also, that when I go out and when I visit somebody, that I must be telling them something that will help them the rest of that day and help them the rest of that week. But yet, we see where teachers, we see where deacons, and you can, if you don't believe me, you can go right straight to any ABC store in Danville, or Pennsylvania County, or North Carolina. Somewhere in that week, you're going to see a Sunday school teacher going to the ABC store. You're going to see a deacon going to the ABC store. Oh, this ain't a thing in the world wrong with that drink. Oh, it ain't. Well, he said, well, he turned water into wine. I said, he did. I said, come in. Can you come with me? And I'll take you to the water fountain. And I'll hit the pedal on that. The water fountain. When the water comes out, I get a bit of drink of water. I said, you know something? It don't taste anything like grapes or apple or anything like that. It don't taste anything. It tastes like water because it don't have a taste to it. It's not. I said, if you can take that water and you can pray to God right now, and you ask God to turn that water that's coming out of this pitcher, take it and turn it into wine, then I'll believe everything God's saying. But see, he won't do that. Why? Because God don't want that. Over in, John chapter 4, I believe, where speaking about the marriage. And it speaks about where the Lord has assembled himself together with some of the saints of God. And he'd also have spoken to them about different things and different truths. But what I liked about it was they come to Jesus and says, we done run out. We don't have nothing else to drink anymore. They was thinking about wine, what they was thinking about. But Jesus went and he got, I believe it was 6 water pots. He went and got them, filled them up to the rim with water. But as the people tasted of that water, that's what it was, pure water. The Lord Jesus Christ had touched their taste bud. And they kept on worshiping and worshiping and playing and doing what the world asked them to do. The water pot. I got a message on that, on the six water pots. And in each and every water pot has got a specific thing there in that pot. The Lord allows me, I'm going to preach it one day. He hadn't allowed me to preach it yet. But I'll tell you what. He's good to me. Is he good to you? Is he? If he is, then you know what? I think we need to start doing. We need to start letting him know. Not just outside, when we serve him outside. We need to let him know that he loves us so much that he gave his life for us. That right there is nothing but a miracle itself. For saving a hell-bound sinner as I. Saving a hell-bound sinner as you. God. But God. But God can. And God will answer our prayers at his time, not before and not after. When he answers our prayer, he shows up right on time. He's never too early. He's never too late. I had a brother, and for a long time I was wondering if he was going to ever get saved. Because I prayed for him for 20 years. I first prayed with him when I went to see him after I got saved. And when I went to see him, I just asked him. I said, "Dara, would you like to go to heaven?" I said, "All you got to do is just believe within your heart what the Lord Jesus done for you." And he said, "Donnie, you're my brother, you're my oldest brother, and I love you. But if that's the only reason you don't come by here and visit me, is to bring up church, bring up something about God's word or the Bible, then I will ask you, if that's the only way you can come in and see me, I asked you not to come back." That right there got to me, not coming back. This is my blood brother. And I didn't like to hear that. So I said, "All right." I said, "Darrell," I said, "you'll never hear another word from me." I said, "But I'll tell you what I'll do, though. I'll make you a promise. that I will never bring up God to you again. But I'm going to bring up you to God every day, every hour that I can. He said, as long as you don't come out here and preach to me. He says, because darling, you know the type of life I live. I said, yeah, I know it. At that time, he was on drugs. He was on alcohol. And he says, this is my pleasure. This is what I serve. This is what I serve. I don't want to hear it no more. If that's the only way you can come out here to see me or ask me a question about anything else, I don't want you to come. I don't want you to come. I don't want you to call me. If that's the only thing you've got to do, you start preaching to me. Twenty years I prayed for him. And don't you think so? I mean, some weeks went by. I mean, there at one time, I said, Lord, unless somebody else goes by his room, if nothing else, just go in there and just pray with him. Have prayer with him. They don't have to say anything else. I said, God, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, I'm going to make it. He said, I'm going to make it to heaven. He's going to make it to hell, though. That's what I thought God was telling me. No, it wasn't God. You know who it was? It was the devil. Because the devil was playing with my mind. And the devil will play with our mind to get us where he wants us. Because see, God already has us. God already has me. But the devil, he wants me now because he knows that if he can get to me and if he can get to my heart and get me to start obeying him, then I will quit preaching, I will quit praying, I will quit reading God's word, I will quit fellowshipping with other Christians, I will quit all of that. And then I'll go back to serving the devil. I'll start with maybe some little, maybe a beer or two. Then I'll probably start with some drugs. Then I'll start with some hard liquor. I'll go back to all of that stuff that I used to love at one time in my life. But now, I love God more than I do them things. You know, we as individuals, we do not understand why things happen the way they do. See, we don't have the understanding like God does. We don't have the mind of God. It says over there, I believe it's in the book of Peter, it speaks about, or James one and the other, it speaks about that we must do everything possible and everything we can to strive that our mind will be in tune with God. that we could have the same mind as Christ. That's in the Word. We can have the same mind as Jesus Christ. Why? Because, see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was His Son. Now I'm His Son. Now he's asking me to go and do what the Savior was doing. You ever thought about that? What the Savior done here on earth as He walked around? Who did He go to? Did He go and visit that Christian? Did He go and visit certain people? The religious crowd? No. You know where He went? He went down to where the people were. And that was it, an miry clay that He speaks about over in Psalms. That miry clay. See, I was once in that miry clay. And I know what it means today when He's singing His song and everything. All the songs that is singing about what the Lord has done for us. And where He's brought us from. And the whole army say in the song will say, He reached way down for me. I can go out here. I know my arm's not that long, but I can go out here. I can go and buy me a roller. I can go out here and buy a tape, 150-foot tape, and I can get a ladder. I can get a ladder, and I can get up here on this building. I can get it to the very top of it, the peak of it, and I can throw the tape over the roof. And let it hit the ground. Maybe say 100 feet, 150, I don't know. But in thinking about that thing, have you ever thought about what Jesus really done for me and you? I know what the song says, the songs that they sing. Where He reached way down. But you know something? He didn't reach way down for me. He came where I was at. I was in the miry, mucky clay. The way I had been all my life. And I was enjoying it. I was enjoying that just like the prodigal son and enjoying his life when he went to the hog pen. And when he went down there and he stuck his head right down in his slop, where the hogs ate from. But he finally got to the point it wasn't fulfilling his need anymore because he had lost everything he had. But he finally came back to the Father. What did the Father do? The Father called his brother, called his other son. He says, "Now, son, you go and get the fattest calf that we have. You go and you get that and bring that back. And you go and get a ring. Bring that ring back. and will place it on his finger. His son, and then his brother. Well, his son, he asked his son, said, "Father, what do you want me to do with this blood? What do you want me to do with this sacrifice?" "I done told you, son, one time. Do I have to repeat myself?" He said, what am I supposed to do? "I went and gathered it. But I don't think you told me exactly what to do with it." He said, "I didn't." He said, "You weren't listening, was you?" How many people don't listen today? How many don't listen to this small, still voice that speaks to our heart? We're scared to. We're scared to listen. Why? Because maybe if we listen hard enough, then maybe it's something God wants us to do. And we don't want to do it. But you know, so many people out here today used to be in church, used to stand up and testify, used to stand up and say, "I love God. I sure am thankful He saved me." And before they end up getting through, they start having tears come down on their face. There was not tears of sadness. There was tears of joy. And you know the rest. You know the rest of the story. Who was that that said that? It was on TV. I mean, on the radio station all in years. I don't know who would. Now the rest, talking about the rest of the story. He'd get, huh?
Paul Harvey.
Yeah, Paul Harvey. I mean, I tell you, now, a whole lot of times he didn't make a whole lot of sense. But I tell you one thing, he made more sense than he did not make sense. Because he was an individual that read. And he just didn't read one book. He'd read a book, see what's in that book, and then he would get in the Bible and see if he could find it in the Bible somewhere. And he says he could. It's not a question that we could come up with. It's not a question where the human race of all the people in the world, if each and every last one of us had a different question to ask. Just think about this. In God's word is the answer for us. For we don't know what's on God's mind, and I'm thankful for that, because if I did, I don't think I could face tomorrow. But I have no idea what God has in plan for me in my life tomorrow or next week. Neither do you. So what is he telling us with that? He's telling us that we are running out of time. He has a deadline. And that deadline had not come yet, because the Holy Spirit is still here working on people, still here answering prayer. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I'm so thankful that I'm a member of a church who believes in the Word of God. I'm so thankful that I'm in a church where people will come to church. I'm so thankful where you pray. You pray for the church. You pray for me. And I'm so thankful that I'm in a church that is a New Testament church. What do you mean by that? I'm so thankful that we as a church support and love missionaries. You cannot do it if we don't. Missionaries alone. I know. I'm sure it's probably some like that. Probably is not doing what they ought to. But look at the others. Look at that one where they went out this past week. And went to their home, went to the neighborhood. And the army or the government at that particular place, they would be around shooting, killing people. He said, no, I don't want to be there in the midst of all of that. But God tells me to go. And he says, son, you go in my name. And I'll protect you by my name. I'm thankful. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed with a church that loves God. Want to see other people get saved. Want to see your family members in church. Want to see your kin people in church. Not just in church, but come to church and then that they would, the ears would be open to where the words of the Holy Spirit can speak to the heart and can touch them. That's what we need today. For people to listen to the Holy Spirit. But a whole lot of people don't even want, they don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. You got a whole lot of preachers out here that has never preached on the Holy Spirit. Ain't much of a preacher. But in all saying of all of that, Barnabas, he was an individual that loved people. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for every word that you uttered to me. And my prayer is, Lord Jesus, that I obeyed your word. I obeyed you and your voice. And Father, I pray now for the individuals, each one of these individuals. Lord, I pray for your richest blessing upon their life. Father, that you will give them something unexpectedly, something maybe they've never asked for. Maybe they've thought about it, but they never asked for it. Lord Jesus, we pray that some of the family members, some of the loved ones that will come to know Jesus as his Savior. Father, we thank you because we know who's head of the church. We know who is the pastor of the church. I'm just an under shepherd. I'm just a shepherd serving God. In my life, I pray, is serving him is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You have anybody wants us, you want to pray for this week?